I'm going that way. I'm going that way. I'm going that way.
I'm going that way.
Oh, yes, I'm going that way. And Jesus the Savior I adore is with me each day, is with me each day.
I'm clinging to him
and never, yes, and never to stray. Praises all day long, going that way. Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? You look good, you look good, you look happy this morning. Do you love God?
Yes.
Let's sing a song to God this morning. I really love the Lord. If you love him, sing it like you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. Yeah, and you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. And you don't know
what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave
me the victory.
Yes, and that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what is. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yes, he gave me the
victory.
Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love. I love the Lord. And you don't know what he's. Yes, oh, yeah, he gave. Thank you, Lord. And that's why I love the Lord. I love
him.
Yes, yes, yes. You sound beautiful. Amen. Amen. God is good. And we thank him for blessing us to be here this morning. If you're visiting with us here at the Fifth Ward Church, you are truly our honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship. Our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We know that this is Mother's Day, but it's first the Lord's Day. We have been embarking on a series of lessons we've entitled Lifeology. We have been searching the scriptures, as the Bible says, seeing that his divine power has granted unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who's called us by his own glory and excellence. And so we search the scriptures as we all are trying to strive and to live better lives for God.
Yes.
Why are we on this earth? Yes, we're trying to get to heaven, but we can't get to heaven. We get to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you got to know Jesus in order to live a life that's going to get us from earth to glory. And so we've been searching the scriptures and trying to figure out how are we going to be better servants for the Lord. And we are into lesson number 9. I'm trying to get to the last lesson, but y'all won't let me. You won't let me in this. And we will jump right into it because we want to be timely this morning. I wish I had time to review all everything that we've talked about, even on last week. We are in the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Everybody's all right? Yeah, you came here to worship God, didn't you? Amen. Chapter 37. And I'm going to begin at verse number 13. I'll give a little review as I go. Where the main character in today's lesson is Joseph. Joseph. He is one of 12 brothers by three different mothers. A blended family. His father, Jacob. And Joseph is shown special favor by his father. He says the reason why he seems to be treating him this way because he was the child of his old age. I'm not giving him an excuse. That's what the Bible says. He gave birth to Joseph in his old age. And, you know, when you get old, you look back and you made a lot of mistakes. Amen. Anybody relate to that this morning? Amen. And, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. We try to make up for them, you know, when we get old. And we still end up messing up. And it seems like Jacob did that, and he caused some tension in the family. And Joseph didn't have anything to do with him being born, his own self being born at his daddy's old age. As some of us, we didn't ask to be in some of the circumstances that we're in this morning, but we're in them. And so we kind of entitled this lesson, Maximize Our Circumstances. And own our attitudes. See, because whatever circumstance we in, we got to deal with it. And sometimes in life, it seems like we have a hard time dealing with our circumstances. And for those that's following God, I have to go to God's word to show you how God wants us to deal with our circumstances. Not how Oprah, not how Dr. Field. Now, if they agree with the Bible, I agree with them. If they don't agree with the Bible, I don't agree with them. Amen. And, you know, you have to know what God says in order to know the difference. Joseph, the Bible says in chapter 37, verse 13, Israel said to Joseph, Israel is Jacob, he's called Israel and Jacob, are not your brothers pasturing the flock in Shechem? Come and I will send you to them. And he said to him, we'll go. I will go. Then he said to him, go now and see about the welfare of your brothers and the welfare of the flock and bring word back to me. See, Joseph was Jacob or Israel had put Joseph in the supervisory mode over his brothers. Mistake, but he did that. He told him to go check on your brothers. His brothers are out in the field. You know, last week we said that Jacob gave Joseph a coat of many varied color, multicolored coat. One gave one brother a coat, and none of the other boys got a coat. And so they had a problem with that. And Joseph now is supervising and going. They out working, and he at home with daddy. And he sends them back out there, But without going through all the details, understand, Joseph had nothing to do with how his daddy was treating him. And it seems like Joseph embraced this relationship because he definitely wore the coat. You know, I mean, you know, you would think sometime maybe you shouldn't wear that coat. But Joseph wore the coat. And Joseph was the supervisor. And Joseph went out and checked on his brothers. He had a dream, and he told his brothers that one day, I had this dream that y'all gonna be worshiping me one day. Mistake. But he told them. It's like he was happy. He was so naive, he didn't realize what he was doing. And it caused some serious problems. But I will say this to us, to those in here today, that one of the lessons we gave in one of these series of lessons is some of us need to learn how to enjoy life. Amen. Some of us need to learn how to enjoy the moment. When you have times to smile, you need to smile. Don't frown, smile. Some folks smile with a frown on their face. Yes, you need to enjoy. Today is Mother's Day. And we know God didn't put it in the Bible for us to have Mother's Day, but the Bible does say to honor father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That just means to value them. And so we honor our mothers even this day. And mothers, you look so beautiful. And I know you know you're ready to go to eat and you're ready to open your gifts. And that's a wonderful thing. Isn't it wonderful to honor your mothers? What's wrong with that? Yeah. Don't shun mama because you mad because something didn't happen in your life. Let's honor mothers today. Mother's Day is a beautiful day. And notice this. And I know, but sometimes Mother's Day can be a hurtful day, painful day. Many people have lost their moms. You know, if you haven't lost mother, you don't know how that feels. No need not saying. My mother is still here. And I hate to look. I might go before her. We don't know what might happen, but I'd hate to be in this world without my mother. Lord have mercy. And some have recently lost their mothers. And so it is a painful day. So you notice the circumstances. You see, when you got your mama, you better be happy with her. You don't take her for granted. You know, sometimes mothers do things you just take for granted. You know, mothers call. They write. My mother, she sends me, when she sends like cards, she'll send a card for a birthday or for whatever it is, encouragement. She gonna always write a note in the card, and it says to my son. That come from mom. You know, she'll put in there somewhere that I'm so proud of you. Now, how do you think that make me feel? Oh, and now, you know, and then you don't have that. You know, somebody that encourages. See, daddy not going to write a card to my son. I'm so proud of you. Now, you know what my mother will put on the card is from mom and dad. Oh, Lord, I know daddy mean it, but he not going to write it. No. So, yeah, maximize your circumstance. Say thank you. I love you. Enjoy the moment. And notice, even when mama is gone, that's the circumstance. And you know, we can't change that, can we? We can't change that. And you know, most of the time, you think about it, not just mother, anybody that we lose in our lives, we ache and we cry because we miss them, because we really miss what they have done for us. We miss the cards, the calls, with the sincerity. We miss the gifts, and we miss things. We miss everything. That's why we ache, and that's why we cry. But you know what? If my mother passes away, this is Mother's Day. Lord, I think about everything that I miss. But you know the way we can honor our loved ones who've passed on before us. You know how we honor them even more? It's to extend the qualities that they had, that they gave to you, to extend those to other folk. That's how we honor them. Now, listen now, notice this. If my dad passed away right now, I would cry, I would ache. But you know what would make my dad more happy than anything? If I'd go on to be a man of God, to preach the gospel, to help as many folks out, that would honor him more than anything else. Yeah, and I just, you know, we have to learn how to deal with it. Lord have mercy. And some of, you know, it's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. See, sometimes, you know, you're going through things, you go through depression, and you're trying to deal with this, but we have to know what God, listen to what Jesus said. No, listen to what Jesus said to his apostles in John 17. The brother read, and you're hearing a few moments ago, I'm no longer in the world. This is what Jesus said. I'm no longer in the world. He's about to go to the cross, and he's praying this extensive prayer to his Father in heaven. He says, and he's praying for his apostles, and yet they themselves are in the world. He's praying for these 12 at this particular time. They themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Father. I'm getting ready to come to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name. That's what he says. The name which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. He says he's praying for them. Then drop down to verse 18, John 17, 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified. Father, when I leave, when I'm gone, I'm sending them. Keep them like you kept me. Help them to do what I have done for others, folks. Yeah, yeah. And so if that gives you comfort today, though your loved one, though your mother may be gone, don't just weep and cry over that she's gone. Cry and weep if you must, but you, just as she was kind and confident and to you, do ye also likewise unto other folk in the name of God. And Joseph, he learned to embrace his moment. And he enjoyed this moment. And then we get to verse number 11 in chapter 37. Number 11, verse 11, Genesis chapter 37. His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. I think I hit on this briefly last week. His brothers were jealous of him. I won't harp on the brothers this Lord's Day, but In life, anticipate haters. Anticipate them. Now, don't spend all your time worrying and trying to read folk mind. I know she hates me. No, you. How you know that? Who told you she hates you? I mean, you know, you don't know everything. And don't be paranoid as we live in life. But his brothers were jealous. Joseph, they were just jealous that of his position. And we talked about that a little bit last week. But can I say this to the church, to all of us? Because I don't know where this comes from. But time is too short for us to hate anybody. Hate consumes us. It's too short, especially for something that they didn't have any. See, when you're jealous or hateful over somebody, something they didn't have, they don't have any control over how they look. How are you going to be jealous because somebody looks good? How can you be jealous of that? They had nothing to do with that. And you wasting your time. Look at her. She thinks she's cute. That don't even make sense. You know it don't make sense. No, all of us have something that somebody else don't have. Everybody. You ever seen? You ever been in school in class? Something you know that you have, especially in a class like math or something like that. And you know, teachers going over problems, and you have a student in there. Seem like they know everything. And they pick it up, so, oh, yeah, that's X, Y, 2, 5, yeah, oh, yeah, I understand. And you in your mind, you looking like, I don't know what is going on. And there, it is, some people have a gift for numbers, don't they? They do. If you have a gift for numbers in here right now, raise your hand. You know who you are, raise your hand. See that? Now, put your hand down. If you don't have a gift for numbers, raise your hand. I could say 3,000 times 24. Person with numbers already got it. People that without numbers. They're pulling out their phones and calculators. The scriptures would say in Ephesians 4:26, be angry, do not sin. Now, notice his brothers really had a, you know, we're talking about reality. We're talking about like, his brothers really, I mean, if I would have been one of his brothers and daddy come up with a coat for one Michael, my brother, and he, where my coat? I would have wanted to know where my coat. You know, I might not have said it, but I would have wanted it. And it would have really teed me off. How could daddy do something like that? We have God's word. We have an example in the Bible. I don't know if they didn't have maybe what we have right now. And we know it takes a level of maturity and growing. But that's why God has left us this word to show us these examples. Listen, don't waste your time being that mad at Joseph. He didn't have anything to do with that. If you're going to be mad, be mad. But don't sin. Don't kill the boy. These boys, They saw him coming. Behold, the dreamer. Let's kill him. And they started conversating with each other. Let's kill him. Yeah, let's kill him. Their own brother. See, jealousy makes you something God don't want you to be. It makes us say things and connive things and come up with stuff. And you know people, when they are jealous of you, they will find some way to cause you some agony and pain. That's what these boys did. They threw Joseph in a ditch. Joseph didn't have anything to do. Joseph didn't know what was coming. They would have killed him had not Reuben, had not one of the boys said, don't kill, he's your brother now. Come on, have some sense. But they still ended up selling him into slavery. But the scriptures say, be angry. Sin not. Then it goes on to say, don't let the sun go down. Listen, don't carry this stuff. If you're going to be mad, be mad. It's not fair. You might talk to yourself. It don't make any sense for the boss man to do this. He just having, he playing favorites, and people play favorites. It don't make sense for this boss man. Don't go home and get your gun and go back to the job and shoot the man, which some people do. You're talking to Christians. We're talking about life and us as Christians, how we are to live and how we are to be an example. Don't put yourself in a, maximize your circumstance. Don't make your circumstance worse. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. One sign of spiritual maturity, even is in the leaders of the church, and Paul, he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24, one of the qualifications of the bishop, of the overseer, the Lord's bondservant, must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach. Notice this, patient when wronged. He gives that qualification to leaders, but you don't become a leader and then get these qualifications. Amen. We are practicing this. All of us should be practicing these qualifications anyway. It's listen, now notice, you're going to be wrong sometime in life. Amen. Be patient. Be understanding. Put yourself in the other person's place, and you don't understand where they come from, what they've gone through. They may be insecure. Somebody might have wronged them. They might be having a bad day. And God said, be patient, because if you want me to be patient with you. Yeah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Anybody here need some mercy this morning? I need it every day. Yeah, let me move on now. Now, and so Joseph, his brothers were jealous of him. So jealous, they sold him into slavery, and he didn't ask for that. But when you observe Joseph's life, let me make the statement before I read the passage. Don't give haters your energy. Don't give haters your sanity. Yeah. See, don't give haters your energy, because they will suck all the energy out of you. Yeah, you see, and then let me make another statement. Own and claim your attitude. No, own your attitude, because whether you own it or not is yours. However you act is you. However you respond is yours. But you need to own it. You need to claim it. You need to decide how you're going to react. Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. This is after his brothers sold him into slavery. You know, it's amazing how when you keep reading the Bible, you see things you hadn't seen before. And because when I first read this story, it just seemed like Joseph just, man, it seemed like, man, he just was so cool. But Joseph had been taken down to Egypt and Potiphar. Now, where they were, they were traveling in a caravan in the first place when they found Joseph. And so now, while Joseph is being taken down, Joseph got some time to think about all this circumstance that he's going through. What do you think was going through his mind? Oh, what is happening to me? Now I've gone from from being favored. I'm gone from the good life to the jailhouse. In life, anticipate valleys. Anticipate them. Yeah. It just don't stay reality. It just doesn't stay good in life all the time. Isn't that the truth? Amen. That's just the truth. Well, you don't mess up my good thing. I'm not trying to mess up any. Life is good for me right now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm eating. I'm paying all my bills. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I got 3 cars. One of them I don't even drive. Praise the Lord. But anticipate valleys. Now, don't sit up worrying all day that, Lord, here you go. Something bad fixing to happen tomorrow. I believe Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of its own. He said, sufficient. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so she said, don't go borrowing trouble from next week. Yeah, but don't worry about it. But in life, and one of the lessons we gave is the first lesson I believe gave is life is hard and not always fair. Anticipate some trouble. Don't be walking around here thinking, see, because if you're thinking things going to stay the way they are all the time, you set yourself up for a tough time in life. And Joseph, he was taken down to Egypt, and I was just thinking about him as he was riding, what he was thinking about. My goodness, what am I going to do? Oh, Lord. These people probably they're going to kill me. I'm so mad. My brothers, my own brothers, they put me in this situation. Sometimes we respond when things happen. How do we respond? And we get in a frantic, a panic attack. Ask yourself the question. Is this making the situation better? Is it making it worse? What do I do? I'm reminded of the psalm. You know the psalm, the 23rd psalm. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. You know the 23rd psalm, David. Yet I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will, for thou. You think Joseph might have been? Yeah. Just something to consider as we go through life. See, own your attitude. Know the scriptures that God has given us that will bring us life and godliness. Decide whether you're going to be defeated or you're going to defeat. You got a choice. I mean, the choice is up to us how we respond, how we what we do. He's traveling down to Egypt. And he must have made up his mind as he was going along the way how he was going to deal with this circumstance, this situation. Am I going to cry and moan and weep and complain and ask and beg? Or I'm going to, and let me talk, can I talk to the brothers for just a second? Or am I going to, and the Bible says that he was 17 years old. Young man. I was in the airport yesterday. Saw a young lady. She was in her army outfit, and she looked like a little baby. Not to me. She looked so young. She had a backpack on her back. And you know, just dropping this in. Young people, when you get to be 17, 18 years old, life changes. And I was looking at that girl. I said, this is not a little baby. She is into life. This boy was 17 years old, put in this situation, and now he has to make a decision on how he's going to direct his conduct by himself. And Joseph made his mind up that I'm with God on my side, and I'm fixing to maximize. I'm going to make the best of this situation. The scripture says, the Egyptian officer, he was put with Potiphar, the captain of God. He brought him from the Israelites who had taken him down. But the Bible says in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man. So he made up his mind that, look, I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to do my job. Whatever they ask me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it to the glory and honor of God because I want God on my side. I don't know what your circumstance, I don't know what your situation was. It might not be your fault. You might didn't ask to be put in this situation, but you have a decision to make. Yeah, see, anytime we put in a circumstance, just say it's decision time. It's time to decide how we're going to react to the situation. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord, how did he see that the Lord was with him? Because he wasn't crying, he wasn't moping, he wasn't complaining. He saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. See, Joseph decided that he was going to take care of business, do his work, do it well. He was going to demonstrate by his actions. And there's something that we need to pick up on, I believe, in life, is that whatever circumstance we're in, we need to still do the Lord's will, do the Lord's work. Why? Because we want God's favor. And one of the things I know some of us in here now have found out, Lord have mercy, when you got God's favor, you're going to be all right. Notice, it might not happen overnight. But it's going to happen. That God will deliver you out of whatever the situation is. You got to believe that. Lord, I mean, this is a trying time because, see, sometimes us as Christians, I'm not one of those. I believe that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and that are called according to His purpose. The Bible teaches that, but don't you? Is somebody telling you that you pray to God and your money gonna be on your pillow in the morning? Yeah, that's not what you see in the Bible. What you see in the Bible is individuals who dedicate their life to God, who go through a trial. They go through a trying time. They go through a period and they stay with God, and you see God delivering them. That's what you see. Notice now, I'm going to end on time this morning. There will be more than one valley in life. Now, I'm not God. I'm not a prophet. It's just reading the Bible. It would be good if we just went through one thing and I get through this test and whoo, I got through it. Ooh, thank you, Lord. No more, Lord. That's Hollywood. That's dreamland. Now, we know from reading the Bible that Joseph experienced two unsolicited, unearned valleys. I should say three that we read. First of all, his brothers put him in a pit. And they really left him for dead. Now, his brothers sold him. And so he went to jail. He went from good life. He went to pit. He went to jail. Then when he got in jail and he did God's will and he gained God's favor and his Potiphar put him in charge to everything, his Potiphar's wife got after him and lied on him. People will lie on us. notice, let me say that. Now, notice. We're going to experience more than one valley. One of the things in life, you don't need to be bringing on solicited valleys in your life. What do you mean, Brother Gary? See, these were unearned, unsolicited valleys. Sometimes we can do things that bring valleys ourselves in our lives. Now, you already going to go through some valleys. Don't be going barring valleys for your life. Amen, somebody. That's a whole nother lesson. Yeah. Because God will spank those that he loves. Now, this, I'm talking to the saints. I'm talking to Christians this morning. Listen, you're a Christian, and you say you're going to be a Christian, but you keep dipping and dabbling and lying and cheating and stealing and conniving. God will spank you to get you back right with him. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Mm. But Joseph, he didn't ask for all of this. Mm. And every time you go through a valley, it's decision time. It is. It's every time you go through one, it's okay, how am I going to respond to this? And notice Genesis 39, verse 20, 39, 20. This is Joseph, he gets out of one valley, and then he goes to another valley. And then Joseph's master took him and put him into jail. He's in jail again, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in jail, but the Lord was with Joseph. Now we know, brother, that's hard. Life is hard. It is, isn't it? Can the church say life is hard? It is. Life is hard. No. See, it's hard, but don't. It's not. See, life is hard. That's why you ought to enjoy life. See, we need a balance in life. Some of us need to learn how to laugh in life. Yeah. See, when you learn how to laugh and you learn how to enjoy life, when you're going through some trials, it gives you some hope on the other side. But if you're just moping all the time. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Remember, Joseph is still a young man. And he's back put in jail. Now, you know, many of us, if we get back-to-back valleys, and I know we can testify this morning, some of us have had back-to-back valleys. Some of us have had back-to-back to back. I mean, that's the truth, isn't it? Yeah. Our brother passes away. Our uncle passes away. My sister passes away. In a span of a year. Whoo. And some of us go on, you got your mama, your daddy, your sisters, your brothers, and all of these folks, and you still white. Anticipate some valleys. It's not going to stay that way. You know somebody going to die in the family. See, notice, God said, I'm giving you all, everything pertaining, I'm showing you what happens in life. Now, notice that, not only are your brothers and sisters going to pass away, guess who else is going to pass away? That's reality. No, God, we sing the song, this world is not my home. Do you believe that?
Yes, sir.
It's not talking about everybody else. You going to pass away. You just passing through. Because I'm trying to show you what's happening, so you better enjoy life, anticipate valleys, decide how you're going to respond, because it's all temporary. Everything while we're here is temporary. I'm trying to show you how to get through this stuff. Yeah, and Joseph is in jail another time, but he decides, I'm not dead yet. God hadn't forsaken me. I want his favor. I got to maximize. I got to make the best of this situation. And that's what he does. And I want to show you the end before I sit down. I'm skipping. I got to skip. Now, told you all the valleys that he went through. While he was in jail, he interpreted the dreams of a baker and a cupbearer. He's doing God's will. He tells him what's going to happen. He tells the cupbearer, you're going to be delivered. You're going to be in 3 days. You're going to be out of here. And he's delivered. Joseph does this wonderful deed, but the scripture says in Genesis 40, verse 23, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Because Joseph said, look, remember me when you get out of here, man. Look here, tell up there. Tell him what I did for you. He didn't tell him. Life is hard. It's not always fair. People let us down all the time. But guess who knows what's going on? Now, in verse 41, chapter 41, verse 1, chapter 41. Now, you have to read all this on your own. I'm skipping through. He says, now it happened at the end of two full years. The cupbearer been out 2 years. He didn't tell nobody what Joseph did. And some of us, we go through trials, and we've been in the trial for 2 weeks, and the world is ending. How you doing? So I can't take no more because, Lord have mercy, I've been in the hospital for 33 days. No, 33 days is a long time to be in the hospital. don't diminish it until it happens to you. But 33 days is not eternity. Is it, church? Put it in perspective. 2 years happens. Then the scripture would say in verse Genesis chapter 40, verse number 8, Genesis 40. The cupbearer, the king is having this dream. The cupbearer says, I know, that was a man that was in jail that he did this for me. Oh, you remember. Then he said to him, we had a dream. And there's no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? He says to the Pharaoh, tell it to me. Notice, Joseph is in jail, had been in there over, he was mistreated, forgotten about, his brothers mistreated him, and Joseph is still clinging to God. He's still clinging to God, which is our only solitude. He never gave up on God. And he says, listen, you think it was me interpreting the dreams? The interpretation comes. Now, you know what? If I was interpreting dreams, yeah, I did do that. I'm pretty good. We want to give ourselves credit for it. He says the interpretations belong to God. I wonder why he did that. Perhaps it's because he knows where his blessings come from. Perhaps he knows where the power really comes from. And he said, tell it to me, please. And then in verse chapter, Genesis chapter 41, verse 16, Joseph then answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. You see, he always directs. He always gives God credit. He always gives God glory. Don't you start bragging. I don't care how good you become at anything. It is only through the grace. Only through the grace of God that you are. Well, I studied. I built myself up. Be careful. Be very careful. There are a lot of smart, genius fools. I'm not talking to you, none of y'all not in here this morning. There are a lot of people, there are a lot of folk who have studied and labored. And God, but it is because whatever brain they have is because God has given them that ability. Now, we develop it. But don't you, listen to chapter 41, verse 39. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house. And this is Joseph now. Remember, he was 17. Now he's 30. 30 years old. So he has gone through this process. What's the, come to you, all you mathematicians, what's 30 minus 17? I told you I was tough with numbers. Is it 13? 13 years. Notice this. There is no one so discerning. Why? You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put the gold necklace around his neck. And he had him ride in his second chariot, and they proclaimed before him, bow the knee, and he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, though I am Pharaoh, yet without your permission, no one shall raise his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh named Joseph Zaphnath-Paaneah and gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, as his wife. And Joseph went forth over the land of Egypt. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. In whatever circumstance you might be in today, tomorrow, whenever our circumstance come, if it's a good week, praise the Lord. Thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah, learn to smile and be happy. Mothers, you look so good. Well, somebody spent some money on some of these mothers. Put your hats on. You look beautiful. Praise you. Bless you today. We love you. Wonderful, beautiful mothers. Yeah. Hug your children. Yeah. You're a parent and your kids are doing well in school. Thank the Lord. That's good. You train. We know you're training them at home. Bible says train up a child in the way it should go. Yeah. If you're single and your career is doing well, yeah, don't harp on the negatives. Don't harp on what's not going on. Yeah, give God glory and praise for the, you know, if you're single and you don't have a mate yet, and you're looking for a mate, say, now, this is for the married folk. Every single person not looking to get married. Leave them alone. Quit walking around saying, telling them, when you going to get them? Now, you need to be quiet, first of all. And you need to take care of what you got yourself. You didn't ask for that. Yeah, and I say that because single folk, if you happy by yourself, please stay happy. Be happy. Why are you saying that, Brother Gary? Because there's a lot of married folk, even in the Lord's church, who not happy. Do I need to say that again? And some of them would have done better off. Joy life. Joy the moment. Anticipate some valleys. Decide right now, defeat or be defeated. Take a lesson from Joseph. Make up your mind. You know, it's a trial. You know, cry if you must. Don't faint. Don't lie down. Don't. And then when you go through your trial, don't make everybody around you miserable. You won't. Yeah, church. I'm going through the trial. I'm not saying don't confide in somebody, but when you call somebody, have somebody to pray for you. Brother, sister, this is what I'm going through right now. I need your help. I need your encouragement. I'm not giving up, but I'm just wanting to. I want somebody to pray with me. But don't try to drag everybody. I want you to feel what I'm feeling. Joseph didn't do that. He didn't ask for pity from people. And God saw what he was doing. And it gained favor with God. And then God opened. You realize Joseph went from jail to second in charge? Some of us, we ain't gonna be able to handle the blessings when we learn how to live this kind of life. God, if you're here today, you're not a you're not a member of the body of Christ. You need to be in the family. You come by faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're trying to get you in God's family where all the blessings are. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Hebrews 11 and 6. If you're willing to repent of your sins, Acts 2, 38. But I tell you, nay, except unless you repent, you shall also Luke 13, 3 and 5, you shall also likewise perish. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 16, God adds you to his family. And he says, be faithful unto death. And that's what we're trying to do. Those of us that are Christians in there, we're trying to be faithful to God. We're trying to be faithful to his word. We decided we're going to try to follow God's principles to help us to live better lives while we're on this earth so we can get to heaven. And no, listen, church, I mean this with all my heart. We want the good life. Jesus says, I came that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. I want to enjoy the days that I enjoy. If you want to be in that fellowship, you come, you give us your hand, but give God your heart. If you want the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. Won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and, me. Let us haste, oh, haste to his grace.
Yes.
It's a fountain.